and I think should be seen as giving us a glimpse of what God sees as we start on the path of true Christianity. First, we notice that Jesus starts his ministry as John completes his role of preparing the way of the Lord. Jesus reiterates the same call that John had delivered so bravely. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This message is 2,000 years old, but it is as if Jesus had comprised it this morning just for us. The kingdom certainly is at hand. As a Christian, if you look back, you will see how the way was prepared for you to become a member of the universal church, which is the body of Christ. We should remember that Jesus is the door, and no one can enter the sheepfold except via Jesus. Any self-made Christians do not belong to her. They may say, Lord, Lord, in all the right places, but Jesus doesn't know her. Jesus moves to a new area, bringing a new light to displace the darkness that existed in that area before. In the bustling town of Capernaum, at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee, this is where Jesus makes his home. This is where Matthew himself lives, and where he will soon become a disciple. This shows us another of Isaiah's prophecies coming true. Gentile Galilee, which for centuries has been trampled by armies and darkened paganism, is now to receive the light of God's salvation. When we started our journey as Christians, the same thing happened to us. The light of the gospel illuminated our paths. Oh, how we hated the things that weren't the people such as we were, did continually and put them away from us. We no longer should have any place in our lives for lying and cheating, because Satan is the father of lies. We should no longer have any place in our lives for hatred and anger, because that is the spirit of murder. We should no longer have any place for idols, human, animal, vegetable, or mineral, because idolatry is a source of witchcraft. It's the same as witchcraft. We are now walking in the light of God. We become aware that it is Jesus who calls his disciples to follow him. While we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. God made the first move. Now Jesus calls his disciples, the first disciples. Jesus begins by gathering a small group of followers. He calls two sets of brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, James and John. They join him as disciples. They have made a living by fishing in the waters of Galilee, and now he has trained them to fish for people. We are not in the church because of how great we are, but God has called and given us various talents and gifts, and every good gift has come from God, as it tells us in James 1, verse 17. We see here both the attractiveness of Jesus and the enterprise of the brothers as they promptly respond to his call. Immediately they are called, they accepted the calling, they left their nets and followed Jesus. That is what a true Christian does. We repent. We give up our old world ways, our old carnal habits, and allow Jesus to renew our minds through the Holy Spirit, who is living in us, if we are truly converted. Jesus first wants to have us as his disciples, who he trains to be trainers of others. Do you remember that Jesus told the disciples to go into all the world and and make disciples. We are all disciples of Jesus if we have truly been converted. Disciples are people under training who do what their master and rabbi does. We are in training to be active copies of Jesus by how we think and how we act. All our actions should be preceded by a thought. What would Jesus do? Does this fit with Jesus in me? All actions should be followed by a thought. Would Jesus have done that? Would Jesus in me, the hope of glory, have been proud to be in me as I did that? If he would not, then we have some maturing to do, if we are Christians. And we have some repenting to do, if we are not yet converted. We move toward true baptism in the Lord. Now what do we see as the final stage exposed to us in this gospel message? Jesus is shown teaching the gospel and healing all manner of diseases among the people. That's our final role as well. As disciples or evangelists of Jesus, it is for us to train up our children of the flesh and our spiritual children as well to see their natural state as one that is leading to destruction. We have to show them that the true surrender to the Lord Jesus is accepting him as Lord and Savior, so that they can have a lasting life in union with God. At the heart of the gospel, then, is a command that anyone who is angry with his brother or is unkind to his sister is in danger of hellfire. And the interesting thing is that it doesn't matter whether you believe God or not, it applies to you, it applies to me. We who have escaped from this position by accepting Jesus as our Savior are not to be selfish. We are to tell others how they too can be rescued from a fate worse than them. That's God's plan. It's a way for us, and it works. It brings no sorrow. As we meet people who are suffering from the problems faced by Satan placed on them, and in the world, we get to know God and surrender to Jesus and bring that healing into their lives. Whether it's oppression, depression, ill health, emotional problems, family problems, or any of life's problems, the answer is the gospel. And for us, it is being an example such that people don't think, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want any part of it. We all have heard them say. So, our examples, brothers and sisters, influence not only this generation, but children and our grandchildren. They take in what you say, they imitate you, and they draw conclusions about you and your brand of Christianity. The kingdom of heaven exists where God will reign. In a simple soul, in a family, in a congregation, a community, as we continue to pray, let thy kingdom come. So, in conclusion, let's be about our Father's business. Let's be believers who actually believe in God. Disciples who actually disciple others by our example and our words. And Christians actually who love God and love their neighbors, inside the church and outside. So, at the return of Jesus, we will sing. He will sing.